Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Hope you're okay and thank you for downloading today's podcast on April 26th. On today's podcast, you can hear about proposals to introduce a tourist tax to part of Kent. And we've also caught up with the Gills boss ahead of the final game of the League 2 season. But first, we'll take a look at our top story. A Whitstable mum who was given chemotherapy after being diagnosed with a rare cancer says lessons still haven't been learned. Janice Johnson became ill from the treatment and her weight dropped to 7 stone before specialists doctors realised she didn't have the disease.
Back in 2017, I started feeling quite unwell and already had this blood condition called polycythemia. And they did sort of further tests and sent my blood up to King's. And it came back that it was the cancer version of polycythemia, polycythemia vera. And they started me on oral chemotherapy and blood draining venesections every fortnight. And this went on for probably about 16, 17 months. But I wasn't feeling any better and there was no change in my blood counts, really. So I started questioning the chemo I was on and they decided to refer me up to Guy's in London to see the top haematologist up there. And obviously I went up there and literally one of the first things she said to me was, I don't think you've got blood cancer at all. She said, you know, she asked if they'd done the initial tests of a bone marrow biopsy, a scan on my spleen, which I had none of those done at all. So the first thing she ordered was me to have those done. And that probably about 2 months it took to get the results back. Couldn't it come back that also I didn't have the cancer?
That must have been a huge shock because you'd already gone through mentally having to deal with that and starting all of the treatment and then to be told, actually, no, that's not what you've got at all. How did you feel?
Well, when she told me in the room, she said, "Oh, you haven't got cancer." And my first thought, initial thought was like relief, but then it was just this feeling of I was so angry, you know, that they put me through that for like nearly 2 years. You know, I had to give up my job. You know, I had to like go on benefits. I had no life at all. And the fact that they were telling me that if I stopped taking this chemo, I could drop down dead of a heart attack or blood clot or stroke at any time.
Obviously, chemotherapy is there to make people better, but it's not a pleasant treatment. And indeed, it did make you quite poorly, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it was oral. It wasn't IV. But nevertheless, you know, you still got the same kind of side effects. You feel sick. You know, you've got no energy with it. You know, and it was just... And it's the thought of having to like take it every day. I was having to take it, you know, all the time, every day.
And giving up your job, Janice, that must have been a huge wrench for you. What was that like?
It was horrible because it, you know, I've been in my job for about 4 years and I loved it. And it wasn't so much the job. It was like it's almost like a home from home kind of work situation, you know. It was like going to another home with my friends, you know. I loved my job, you know, and then I had to give it up. And I just went from having that social side to literally being cut off completely, having nothing at all.
She's been speaking out as figures show East Kent Hospitals Trust has paid out £1.5 million in cancer misdiagnosis claims and delayed diagnosis in the past 5 years. Bosses say they're working hard to make improvements.
Kent Online News.
A woman who was on the same boat as 5 people who died in the Channel has told us how terrifying it was. A child was among those who lost their lives trying to reach the UK earlier this week. One of the passengers has spoken through a translator.
I sat on the edge of the boat and didn't go towards the other end. That's where people were fighting and people were getting stepped on, dying and thrown off. I thank God that I didn't get into the top part of the dinghy. I would have suffocated.
The government says the tragedy highlights why the Rwanda bill is needed to try and put people off making the dangerous journey. It comes as 2 men have been charged with immigration offences over the tragedy in the Channel. The 22-year-olds from Sudan and South Sudan are due in court today. More than £100,000 worth of stolen machinery has been recovered in Kent. The majority of the goods were taken from a property in Rootham, but police also found a trailer stolen from WHO and a digger believed to be from London. 3 people have been arrested, 2 released on bail while inquiries continue. A man's been fined for using a dead woman's blue badge to park closer to his hotel in Ashford. Ashley Jones says he found it on the floor and thought nothing of it. The 30-year-old from Passage Road in Bristol has been ordered afford to pay more than £1,000. A Gillingham fan who stole a safe from the club has told a court that his punishment was the best thing to happen to him. Sam Turner says he was able to quit drinking after being given a suspended sentence and an alcohol abstinence monitoring system. The 40-year-old from Gordon Road has been back before a judge for breaching a driving ban. It was described as a blip, and he's been given a community order. Local bosses are investigating after mounds of rubbish were left dumped along a footpath in Northfleet. Household waste and building materials have been piled along the stretch between Creedhall Road and the Hill. Council say it's not the first time it's happened, and cameras could be installed to deter fly tippers.
Kent Online News.
Eurotunnel bosses are planning to install more than 100 new check-in booths in a bid to avoid delays when the new border systems begin this year. The electronic entry-exit system replaces the manual stamping of passports from October, sparking fears of a backlog of people trying to cross to France. The extra booths will be in Folkestone as well as additional parking spaces. Parents with children at a school in North Kent fear they won't be able to get to class on time as a bus service looks set to be scrapped. The S1 currently takes pupils from Gravesend, Greenhithe and Swanscombe to Longfield Academy. It's due to end next week, with the operators blaming a lack of demand. School bosses are set to submit a formal complaint. Council bosses in Thanet have abandoned ideas of introducing a so-called tourism tax. It's been suggested overnight visitors could be charged more to cover the cost of things like clearing waste and looking after the beaches. These people in Margate have been speaking to the local Democracy Reporting Service.
I think it would be a really good thing. Put some money back into the local economy that it's missing during most of the year.
The area does need more investment, but not in that tourist tax way. Absolutely no way. I think it's a ridiculous idea. An added cost onto hotel bills is just stupid.
I don't think it will put me off, because I think, like, I've been abroad and a lot of places have done that. A lot of countries have, like, mandated that. And I think with, like, things are going to gentrify more people are just going to come to Margate. So if it means like the city will be cleaner and there'll be more, you know, benefits to the city, then I think it's fine. But as long as it goes to a good place, then I think I'm for it.
At a cabinet meeting last night, council bosses said they don't have the power to bring in the measures. Jane Bishop, who runs the Walpole Bay Hotel in Margate, said costs are already high enough.
People are willing to pay, but there's finding another way to get their money, which is fair to everybody. We want people to come here, and we don't want them to have to pay through the nose, and we have to absorb lots of costs. But this is a tourist tax that we'd be collecting it for the council. It's not to do with our profits at all. But we already pay so much already towards the benefit of our visitors on the town. And all our guests would say they'd pay a tourism tax. And it's even been suggested that the beaches are ticketed, because the beaches and the actual seafront itself are where most of the problems occur.
Kent Online News.
The owner of a care home in Gravesend says it's been completely empty for 6 months because of paperwork issues. Tricia Patel has spent £200,000 renovating Clarence Place, which has become 17 bedroom. Despite being approved by the Care Quality Commission, she's been unable to get registration from Kent County Council.
Everyone's just been surprised that we're in this position where we got prioritised for our CQC, and then suddenly, you know, everything has just come to an abrupt halt.
Why do you think it is?
I don't profess to be an expert. I know there are lots of cogs and wheels that go into making everything run and work. But, you know, maybe funding, maybe, you know, budgets, maybe a focus on trying to provide care within someone's home as opposed to in a care setting.
At no point anybody from the KCC is actually coming to see you?
No. Not directly. We've had other people in other departments come to see us, but no one from the adult social care.
Which is what you need, obviously.
Yeah.
So how do you feel privately? It must be incredibly frustrating having got this process and got the project off the ground.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
It's really taken me for a six, because it's not even if I was just assuming things. It's been, you know, we've talked to our counterparts. We have, my landlord has friends who own care homes, several care homes in the area. And, you know, when they ask, oh, how's it going? And you say, we're still waiting for service users to start using our services. it's just shock, absolute shock from everyone. Like, they just cannot believe it. And everyone's dumbfounded as to why that is. I mean, Ajay's been working in the industry for 20 years over, and it's just, right, it's unprecedented.
Have they given you any, indicated any kind of time frame whatsoever?
No, because I've asked them, I've emailed KCC, like our contacts there who are assessing the application, and I've asked them just so I can make an informed commercial decision about what our next steps are going to be. But with that, it's kind of like, they, I don't think that email wasn't responded to, but I think that kind of means that it's going to take as long as it takes.
How long can you go on like this?
That's the next question that I think, you know, one that I'm fully aware of that I'm going to have to answer soon. But luckily I do have the support of the landlord. Like I said, they're family friends, and working with them to figure out how long we can continue.
And how long do you think that would be? What's the worst possible scenario?
Another 2 or 3 months, maybe.
And then what will we have to do? Just
we'll have to reassess, like, and apply for a change of use. But that's up. Like I said, that's not up to me. That's up to the landlord.
Council bosses say they're waiting for documentation, which she insists she's provided. We should find out next week if plans for an 8,000-seater stadium in North Kent will go ahead. The idea of Northfleet Harbourside was first submitted almost 2 years ago and will be discussed by the council's planning committee. If approved and built, the stadium would be used by Ebbsfleet United. There'd also be houses and shops nearby. Two Kent MPs are urging people in East Morling to object to a new 1,300-home development before it's too late. A planning application has been lodged for a new community called Bradbourne, said to be set across 80 hectares on farmland at East Morling and Ditton. Tracy Crouch and Helen Grant have both taken a stand against the project, saying it will impose impossible pressure on local infrastructure and take away precious countryside. Leisure centre bosses in Ashford say measures have been put in place to improve cleanliness following concerns about hygiene standards. A third cleaner has been employed at the Stour Centre, but some members still don't think that's enough. Kent Online's been told managers and lifeguard teams are also involved to significantly improve cleaning operations. Hospital bosses in Kent have apologised after a deaf man was scheduled for an operation without being told of the risks involved. Doctors at Kent and Canterbury Hospital thought the 47-year-old Canterbury man had requested the surgery to remove a painful cyst on his testicle, but was instead asking about treatment options. The patient, who communicates through British Sign Language, says a lack of provision at his appointment is to blame, as there was no interpreter available. He later opted against the surgery. Tributes have been paid to a former firefighter and Sheppey Sea Cadets volunteer who's died following a cancer battle. Peter Jones from Minster has been described as a true gentleman who made a huge difference through his community work. The 67-year-old served with Kent Fire and Rescue for more than 20 years.
Kent Online News.
A Kent town is gearing up to host their very first Pride event. Ashford will host a parade, live music and performances this summer to celebrate diversity and inclusion. The festivities will start in the town centre on June 22nd. Former Doctor Who star Tom Baker has been pictured posing with a toy Dalek at a shop in Tenterton. The 90-year-old, who played the fourth Time Lord in the 70s and 80s, visited Sid's Emporium earlier this week. You can see the photo at Kent Online. And California singer-songwriter Dasha has been on KMS FM to talk about her TikTok sensation, Austin. The song's gone viral with people filming themselves line dancing. It's also climbed to number 7 on the Kent Top 40. Dasha spoke to Alex and Numi on the chart show.
So let's talk about Austin. What a hit, what a moment for you. But how did it first come together?
Well, I was in a session in LA, and this was like last April, I want to say. April, May, maybe. And I was really upset about this guy that I had been seeing in Nashville. I was just telling the people in the session, like, I want to write, like, my scorned woman song.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm feeling it, guys. Like, I need to write a song that's just bigger than life and just about how angry I am and standing up for myself and regaining my power, you know?
Nice.
And Adam Windler, who played guitar on Austin, starts playing the chords. And the first thing I did was freestyle the first two lines of that song. First off, the melody was enough to be like, whoa, that's a cool melody. But then the lyric, did your boots stop working? Everyone in the room was like, what did you just say?
Yeah, it's such a good lyric.
Thank you. Thanks. But I didn't even know where that came from. And it was really fun just having this very like otherworldly ether experience of like, I don't know where this came from, but it's happening. And here's the song we're writing. And we wrote the song in like less than an hour. Like, wow. It was just very, very fast. And we were all very excited about it. And I feel like songs flow way faster when everyone in the room is like genuinely stoked on like what's happening.
Yeah. On the same wavelength.
Exactly. We were all so on the same page. And after I wrote the song, we all were just like, yeah, this is going to be a hit. We just kind of knew. It was a really cool thing.
Amazing.
Well, you were right.
I know. Heck, look at us.
It's, you know, there's like going viral, and then I feel like there's the level that Austin went, because it was literally like every fourth sound on my TikTok for you page.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? It was literally everywhere. It's just so cool to see so many people worldwide participating in the trend. And I think that's one of the reasons that the song reached so globally, was because of obviously the line dance trend. And just being the artist behind that song was like the coolest feeling in the entire world.
I mean, you literally got the whole world line dancing. That must have felt incredible.
Exactly. Like, I just wanted to bring back that culture of line dancing. I think it's the coolest thing ever. And so much of like my generation hasn't experienced that. And I don't know. I'm just so happy to be the one to have done that. It's wild.
If you wanted to listen back to that full chat, you can find it at the podcast page at kmfm.co.uk.
Kent Online News.
And now, with a look at what's going on around the county, it's Sam Laurie.
We're coming to the end of the month, so let's make sure we see out April with a bang this weekend. There's plenty going on over the next few days, including some fantastic live shows from stand-up comedy to family musicals. On Saturday, Canterbury's Marlowe Theatre is bringing back its regular comedy night, and this month it is a big one. April's Live at the Marlowe will be headlined by QI legend and actor Alan Davies, who has been one of the UK's leading comedians for more than 30 years. The comic, who started his stage career while studying drama and theatre at the University of Kent, will be joined by a lineup of rising stand-up stars. If you love musicals, but you simply can't choose a favourite, there's a new show coming from London's West End that could be right up your alley. Sing the Musicals is, as you might have guessed, a sing-along show that features all of the biggest numbers from the stage, including Mamma Mia, Dirty Dancing, Rocky Horror Show, We Will Rock You, and more. There's a big screen showing the lyrics so audiences are free to sing their hearts out to all of their favourite musical tunes. The unique show is at the Central Theatre in Chatham on Saturday night. Also, something that's worth bearing in mind is that the show-stopping musical Shrek is on tour, and it's coming to Kent next week. The show, starring former Strictly dancer Joanne Clifton, will be at the Marlowe Theatre from Tuesday, and there are a handful of tickets left, so if you want to take the kids for an unforgettable night out, then it could be worth snapping up those last few seats. Now, I've also got a couple of events for grown-ups only this weekend. The Meet the Brewers showcase returns to Macnade in Faversham tonight, with more than 40 different beers and ciders on offer from producers all over Kent. It's free to attend, and along with the drinks, you can also enjoy carefully selected cheese pairings, discounted food from the site's outdoor food village, and live music from Thomas Abrahams. Also, on Saturday and Sunday, the Checkers in Laddingford, near Maidstone, will be throwing a free Real Ale Festival. The two-day festival will be serving up pints from lots of local breweries, and fingers crossed the sun shows its face, because the pub has a fantastic beer garden where punters can sit back and relax. That's it for this weekend, but of course next week we have the first of our two spring bank holidays, so make sure you keep an eye on what's on to find the best things to do over the May Day weekend.
Thanks, Sam. There is one other event that might be of interest to all the motorheads in Kent. A circuit where Lewis Hamilton started his career is hosting a 24-hour race this weekend. 35 teams of up to 8 people will be competing for a place in the Buckmore Park history books. The event started in 2013 and is now so popular places sold out in just 90 seconds. Phil Ling is the MD at the circuit.
Essentially, it is an endurance race event, 30 teams taking part in it for 24 hours. So there's a practice session first for teams to get used to everything that's going on, conditions for the day, a qualifying session to set the grid for the actual start of the race, and then competing in teams, 24 hours of straight racing. Person that completes, or the team that completes the most laps at the end of the 24 hours is the winner. We put a lot of work into each of these events. We run events every day, but this one is just that little bit more special for us. Not only the calibre of the teams that we get booking into this, people come from all over the country and doing this each year, but it's just the popularity of the event. We just try to make it, especially the live stream that we have, it's got to be the best event that we put on each year. The beginning of the race obviously is really exciting. You've got all 30 teams trying to head into that first corner at the same time. Everybody wants to come out in the lead, making sure that they are in the lead at the beginning. Obviously, you've still got 23 hours and 59 minutes and 45 seconds left to win the race, but everybody wants to do it on that first bend. It will start to calm down a little bit, and then really the results do get a bit mixed up as the race goes on, purely for the fact that teams are doing driver changes, they're doing fuel stops, there's service stops throughout the race. So it's really not till towards the end of the event on the Sunday that the leaderboard starts to level itself out, and that's when you've got the fight back on your hands again.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham will be looking to end the season on a high as they host Doncaster Rovers this weekend. The Gills have already missed out on any hopes of reaching the playoff places after losing 2-1 to Mansfield Town last Saturday. Here's striker Josh Andrews.
Obviously, we're disappointed. We know we haven't achieved what we know we could have. But, you know, we just want to finish the season strong. And I think everyone's sort of really raring to get going for next season, because we know as a squad, as a team, and as a club, we can achieve something. The first half against Mansfield, we were very good. It's about maintaining it. And, you know, Mansfield are a good side. They've obviously got automatic promotion. And that's the sort of level we need to be looking at and maintaining that first half performance for the whole game. And, you know, if we do that, I think we win the game. And again, there wasn't much in it, but unfortunately we came out on the wrong side. Obviously, everyone's motivation is just finish season strong, and every player wants to win on the weekend. You want to win the 3 points, that's for any game. But I think every player can find their own extra bit of motivation. And, you know, I played at Doncaster and I know a few of the players, so, you know, I wouldn't mind getting one over on them.
And here's what Gill's boss, Stephen Clements, had to say.
We was disappointed after the game to let in two goals in the last 20 minutes. Two very good goals on their part as well. So it was disappointing because I thought the lads really played well in the first half. The second half, I felt Mansfield did get on top of us and they showed what quality they got. What they did show me, Mansfield, I thought that's a bit of a benchmark, that. That's where you need to be at if you're going to be successful in the league. So I think that was good for the players to see too. This week we've prepared like normal. We want to go into the game and we want to win against Doncaster. I know they've got still plenty to play for themselves, but we want to make sure we send our fans happy this summer with a result, and that's going to be the aim. So we'll go into the game fully prepared, with the ball and without it. And we'll take our game plan to them.
Meanwhile, Stephen Clement says he's already in talks with new potential recruits. There could be a bit of experimentation with the team as they try out a new way of playing for next season. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're there on the website, why not check out the latest review from The Secret Drinker?
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.